Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The Bible says, I commend you to God, Paul said, and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. In the book of James, the Bible said, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The Apostle Paul writes to this young preacher, Timothy, and he said, I know how that you've been instilled in the faith by a grandmother, a mother, and a grandmother. He said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul writes to this young gospel preacher, and he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul said to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Paul said, your life is hid with God in Christ. As you and I have mentioned, and we have brought this out in several of our messages, and that is that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul said, I'm dead. Now, what can a dead man do? Not very much. He said, I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In Matthew chapter 7, you remember that Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Oh, He says, there is where we need to be. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in there. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. As He said in the book of Luke, He also pointed this out, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter and shall not be able. In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord said, not every man that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of our Father which is in heaven. That's what we are endeavoring to do, and that is the will of Jesus Christ. The four biggest fools in town. When you and I think about a fool, I think you and I can look at the opposite of someone who is wise. The Bible tells us, go back to 1 Kings chapter 3, and you find that Solomon prayed to God, and he said, give thy servant an understanding heart that he may judge the people. The Bible tells us in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings that God did just that. And if you remember, the Queen of Sheba came up, and she went back and made the declaration, the half has not yet been told regarding the wisdom of Solomon. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs, what you're going to find out is, Solomon said, a fool is void of understanding. He won't listen to you. Have you ever tried to tell a fool something? And Solomon said, he's not going to listen to you. He don't understand. Do you know what the difference? When you look at a wise person and a foolish individual, you know what the difference is? The difference is in the decisions they make and the choices they make. The Bible tells us in the book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Do you lack wisdom? Somebody said, I want wisdom. Well, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, then ask God, and He'll give it to you. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 13, there's an interesting Bible story there. There is a prophet of God, and God sends him to make a declaration, which he does. And God said, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. Do not go back the same way, and don't eat anything while you're there. He goes and he prophesies. Oh, I mean, these people were moved, and there were some young men there, and they said, we want you to go home. Be with us. No, no, no. He said, I can't do it. God said for me not to go back the same way, not to eat anything while I'm here. They went back and they told their father. They said, listen, here is a prophet of God. Go hear this man. And they said, well, why didn't you? Well, we invited him. He wouldn't come. Gave the reason why. And this old prophet went out and found the young prophet. And here's what he said. He said, I too am a prophet. You go back home with me. I too am a prophet. Now watch this, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says, but he lied. This young man was not buried with his fathers. Why? Because he disobeyed the voice of God. He did not do as God had told him to do. What did he do? He made the wrong decision, folks. He made a decision to do what the old prophet said, and the Bible says, but he lied. And there are many individuals in our world tonight and in our society who are making decisions based on what someone else has said rather than upon what the Bible has said, and as a result of that, they're a foolish individual. People don't listen. They don't pay attention. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Word of God that will build you up. It is the Word of God that will help you make the kind of decision that you ought to be making in your life. The four biggest fools in town. Number one is the atheist fool. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 14, verse 1, and in Psalms 12, 53, verse 1, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When you and I look at the book of Psalms, chapter 19, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. Ladies and gentlemen, do you wonder today why our society and our culture is where it is? Why individuals do not have respect for God or His Word or the body of Jesus Christ? They do not even have respect for themselves. The very simple reason is when you tell someone they have come from an animal long enough, you know what happens? They begin to act like what they think they have come from. And that's what's going on in our world today. You can go to a mall, you can go to a shopping area, and you see a young man and a young lady, and I mean, they're all hugged up, and they don't mind their show of affection. They're not mad, probably just met each other an hour ago, and showing their affection to one another right out. But you know what we have done? We have said man has come from a lower form of animal. Once I was a tadpole swimming in the sea. Then I was a monkey swinging from a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD, and that's what we've done. And we have told our young men and our young women, you came, you see the atheist, he says, there's no God. And listen, go to the book of Acts chapter 4. And when you and I read Peter, they were about to be thrown in prison. They had healed this lame man. And in the fourth chapter, the magistrates came and they said, listen, we're going to tell you, you can't preach in his name. Peter said they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And the Bible says, we cannot help speak, but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And in verse number 23, they went to their own company, the Bible says, and they had a prayer meeting. And they thanked God. And here's what he said. Here's what they thank God for. They thank God who was the creator of the heaven and the earth. There's really three things there. They said God is the creator, God is the controller, and God is the conqueror. Ladies and gentlemen, when we teach our world and our society today that God is the creator, He is the controller, and He is the conqueror, we'll have a different type of society. A fool says there's no God. The atheist, he laughs and scoffs at the idea. You have these individuals, you've got these folks and they say, well, man has come from this lower form of animal. The evolutionists, even some of our, quotation marks, brethren, have gotten into this idea of theistic evolution. And they say, well, you know, Brother Acuff, you look in Genesis chapter 1 and God created the heaven and the earth and He created light or night and day and He created the herbs of the field and the trees and the grass and the sun and the moon and the stars and the fish and the cattle. And he said, you know really what God did? God took, it may have taken 5 million years to do that. That's baloney, folks. The Bible says, and the morning and the evening were the first day. Yeah, but that could be... Listen, the word, there's a Hebrew word there. That Hebrew word is yom, Y-O-M. And unless, according to those... I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I just simply tried to read and research and study enough to understand. And I understand that Hebrew word yom means a 24-hour day and is always used as a 24-hour day unless it is designated something else in the Hebrew language. And these, I mean, you see what it is. It's this concept, this idea that probably they'll say, well, Brother Acuff, I just believe man. I mean, what about all these fossils? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if God can create a human being and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, can he not create a rock that a fossil could, as if it's been there years? You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a faith that man has. All of us, brother, they come, there's this, and you folks have heard, this is new. You know, this Big Bang Theory. And you take a watch, ladies and gentlemen, you just go home, try this, separate everything, take your watch and take it apart. How many times would you have to throw it up in the air and let it come down and be a watch just like it is? It wouldn't happen. And yet that's what man said. Well, we got the world and the universe, that's how it came into existence. Man is striving through three methods: abortion, cloning, in vitro fertilization, some other areas. Man is basically trying, folks, to put himself in control of God or his God. You see, if we can clone someone, then people say, yeah, we're against cloning human beings. Yeah, I heard that. I heard folks years ago say they were against abortion too. You see, ladies and gentlemen, man says, hey, I want to control the situation. I want to control man. I want to control birth. Oh, we're going to kill those older folks, and there are a lot of problems to take care of, and we'll just kill them off. And, yeah, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's what Adolf Hitler wanted to do. Now, the survival of the fittest. And so man has ended. You remember man thought he'd be in control one time? And he started a tower. And that tower was going to reach to heaven. You remember that, don't you? God confused his language. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, our concept, world's concept today, the atheist is a fool. Why? Because he thinks that he can outsmart God. Over in the book of Amos, there's an interesting passage, and we've misused it many times, or maybe not misused it. We've taken it out of context, and in maybe an invitation, or we'll preach a sermon, prepare to meet thy God. And we'll say, now get ready, be prepared to meet God. You know what Amos is saying? He's not saying, well, now get ready for the judgment day. No, that's what he's saying. Amos said, I want to tell you something. If you're going to fight God, and he talks about God in the description of him in Amos chapter 3, he said, if you're going to fight against God, I want to tell you who you're up against. Now, like the fellow said, the lightning bug is brilliant, but it hasn't any mind. It wanders through existence with its headlight on behind. And that's the way man would do it. The fellow said he was going to cross a lightning bug with a honeybee so that they could work at night. And that's the kind of an attitude and idea that folks have about man and about what man can do. But you see, he's a fool. How do I know he's a fool? Because the Bible says, fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Ladies and gentlemen, every man must stand before God in the day of judgment to give an account of the things done in the body according to that he has done. Oh, somebody said, well, yeah, Brother Acuff, sure, the Bible says that. I don't believe what the Bible says. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, somebody said, what do you mean it doesn't make? My friend, the simple fact that you refuse to believe what the Bible says and obey the gospel and obey the will of God, that doesn't mean in the day of judgment you do not stand before God. The Bible says every man will give an account of himself unto God. The Bible says the books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Every man will give that account of himself. It doesn't matter whether you believe the Bible. What makes a difference is, are you going to practice it? You can't practice it until you believe it. And the atheist says, no, I don't believe it. Number two, there's what I call not only the atheist fool, but I call the modernist fool. You may want to call it the humanist fool. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse number 25, oh, foolish of heart, they did not believe, and slow, Jesus said, and slow to believe the prophets. You see, the humanist idea is similar to that of the atheist. And you see, many in the education system, not you, I'm sure, but there are those in the education system, and they can take convince our boys and girls that the United States was founded upon atheism and deism. Somebody said, well, what's a deist? Well, a deist is an individual who believes that God created the heaven and the earth, created man, and then went off and left him. And you see what they're trying to tell our boys and girls. That's the way the United States, it was began by these atheists. And if we had the time tonight, I could go through and give you about 200 illustrations out of history, out of statements that these men made. The beginning of our great nation. And the United States of America is doing in 2002 what the Communist Manifesto declared in 1917. And it's the humanistic philosophy. And that humanistic philosophy, here's what they said. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put daddy out in the farm, out on the field. We're going to put mama in the factory. And we're going to put the children in government school. What's happened in America today? Who's rearing our children? Oh, daycare. Somebody says, oh, you're against daycare? No. I'm against parents that don't take their responsibility, though. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. You see, this humanist idea says, oh, man is in control of everything. I've got to accumulate everything. And if I can accumulate everything, then I'll be sitting pretty in the time to come. That may not be good English, but I'm not teaching English. I'm preaching, ladies and gentlemen. And what we need to do is to take our boys and girls and we need to teach them the Word of God and get them out of the hands of somebody else. You see, because what we've done what communism did by law, we have done by neglect because of the modernist or the humanistic idea. All the Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this humanistic idea, that's what happened in Romans. You turn to the first chapter of the book of Romans, and he said, you know what these people did? He said, in verse number 23 or 25 in that area, he said, these people profess to be wise, but they're fools. Isn't that what our society is doing in 2002? You hear a gay or lesbian individual, and they get you homophobes out there, you folks, I feel so sorry for y'all that you don't know any better. God said He gave them over to a reprobate mind. He gave them up to vile affections, to unrighteousness. Why? Because they worship the creature rather than the Creator. And cities like Atlanta, Georgia, have their gay pride parade. And they have these individuals marching down the streets of Atlanta. Now, you know what's happened now? Well, we've just kind of got used to it. You know. Men love darkness rather than light because of these evils. You sit in the darkness long enough and the pupils in your eyes will dilate and you'll get used to it. And that's what we have done. We've gotten used to it. We have let the television, every sitcom that comes on television some evening, it's this area where they've been married two or three times and living with this one and living with that one. Kind of like the little boys were arguing. One of them said, I got two brothers and three sisters. The other one said, that ain't nothing. I got two mamas by my first daddy and three daddies by my second mama. And that's our society. And every Monday, too, to every night, we find that we sit down and there's these gay couples and it's so nice and sweet. What happens? Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. The humanistic idea has taken over. There's a few places like yourself, like Warren County, good people like you who love the truth, you stand up for it. God bless you for that. Oh, I wish to God that in every country of the world, in every state of the United States of America, that there were a contingency of Christians as they are in this wonderful county, people who love God, who love the Bible, and who love the truth, who are not modernist or human. Have courage to stand up and say, listen, you can, you'll be persecuted, yeah. You'll be persecuted. But you see, the Bible says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all men are evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Yes, there's the atheist fool. the modernist or humanistic fool. Then there's, ladies and gentlemen, there's another one. And that is the sinning fool. Somebody said the sinning fool? Yes. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse number 9, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that a fool mocks at sin. It's kind of covered up. Hide from it. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, 85, verse number 2, the Bible says, He hath forgiven their iniquity. He hath covered all their sins. In Proverbs chapter 29, the Bible said, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. What do we do with sin? See, some folks want to cover it up. And some folks say, well, there's no such thing as wrath and an affair. Over in Cookeville, Tennessee, 7 years ago, out on the marquee of one of the hotels over there, they had, and it was kind of a double take on a statement, and it said, have your next affair here. Oh, we hee-haw about, oh, yeah. You know, and we use euphemisms to, oh, somebody's living together. No. They're committing fornication together. Do we ever tell them? Look what the Bible says. You're not married. You're committing fornication. A fool mocks at sin. You remember David? Yeah, David committed fornication with Bathsheba. Adultery. Had Uriah. You know, got him drunk. Thought he'd send him home. Uriah didn't go home. David wrote a letter to Joab and he said, when Uriah gets out there, go out and go out in the heat of battle and put Uriah out front, and at the heat of the battle you draw back. And Joab did as David instructed him. He came to send a message back to David, Uriah the Hittite is dead, and man, you can just see David, and you just see, See, David said, man, I was about to get caught. Somebody said, Dora, Nathan. Then he said, David, I want to tell you a story. Two men. One man, he was wealthy. Man, he had all these flocks and herds, and there's a man lived across the road from him on another farm. Had one little ewe lamb. Oh, he loved it. Took it to his bosom. Loved that little ewe lamb. This fellow had all the flocks and herds. He had a visitor come through, and instead of going out to his flocks and herds and getting something to feed the visitor, he goes across the road and he takes that man's one little ewe lamb, kills it, and feeds it to his visitor. David said, rage! Amen! A guy like that will be punished! Nathan said, David, you are the man. Your sin will find you out. A sinning fool. A fool mocks its sin. The sword, David, will not depart from your house. Amon forces his sister Tamar, commits fornication with his sister Tamar. Of course, he loses the child of Bathsheba first. And then Amon forces his sister Tamar. Absalom kills Amon and then rebels against his dad. Oh, we know the story. Absalom, my son. Absalom! Would to God I'd died for thee, oh Absalom, my son! A fool mocks at sin. You see where it goes back to, folks? Decisions and choices. Decisions and choices. I was counseling with a lady one time. She'd been married a couple of times, maybe three, I don't remember. She said, Brother Acuff, I just can't understand why I have so many problems in marriage. I said, well, you probably won't appreciate what I'm about to tell you, but I'm going to tell you why. You make the wrong choice. You make the wrong decision. You've chosen the wrong people. And you see, when you make the right choices and choose the right people, see, we say to somebody, here's an individual and they've been having all kinds of trouble, whether it's financial, marriage, or whatever, and we say, well, you know, they're not very smart. They're kind of foolish. Why? They made the wrong decision. The man who mocks at sin, the man who becomes an alcoholic has made the wrong decision. The man who becomes an adulterer has made the wrong decision. The man who departs from the faith has made the wrong decision. Number four. Not only do we have the atheist fool, the modernist fool, the sinning fool, but ladies and gentlemen, we have the neglecting fool. Now, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, here's this man, Luke chapter 12. You know the story. This isn't anything new. Luke chapter 12. This fellow looks out and he said, man, look what I have accomplished. Look at my fields. Look at my crops. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barn and I'll build greater ones. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink. You have many goods laid up for a long time. God said, thy food, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? He neglected his salvation. Oh, the Bible says, harden not your heart. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Don't neglect salvation, folks. Today is the day.